Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Tech Can't Save Us podcast for 2023, our last episode for 2023. As always, I am your co-host, Paul David.
And I'm William Gadsby Pete. Yes, Paul mentioned this is our year in review pod. This is the wrap, last episode of season three. We will, of course, be back in January. So if you're listening via Spotify or Apple Podcast, do make sure to look out for that and share a rating if you're feeling in the festive Christmas giving spirit. Massively, massively grateful for all your support this year. The pod's been growing in terms of listenership. We've had some amazing guests. Couldn't have done it without you guys. So yeah, just a huge thank you to you guys for being regular listeners and being part of the community.
Yeah, it's been our steadiest year, I think, and we're excited to grow into new territory in 2024, so stick with us. Today's episode, we'll be doing a roundup of the year that has just gone, taking a quick look at how 2023 measured up with the predictions that we saw in 2022 across the tech industry. And towards the end of the pod, we'll be sharing our insights into what we think 2024 may have to offer.
So yeah, kicking us off with some of the predictions that we saw from 2022 and how they actually came to pass in 2023, mainly focusing on stuff that actually missed the mark. So the first one is just the massive decline in funding that we've seen across the board, which very much flies in contrary to some of the more bullish predictions that 2023 was going to be an excellent year for investment in tech.
Soft landing.
Yeah, soft landing. And like most of the people that were predicting that like 2023 would be better than 2022 were quite coked up. Mm. There were a lot of predictions that it would be much less bad than it's actually been. 2023 has been far worse than I think anyone thought it would be in terms of funding. Got some stats here on fintech. Fintech is quite often the good canary down the mine because it's usually the most heavily invested in sector of tech for the last decade or so. So in Q1 of 2022, European fintech secured $9.7 billion. In Q1 of 2023, that was down to $2 billion. So it was a fifth of what it was the year prior. Just a massive reduction in funding that nothing but the most pessimistic predictions I'd seen sort of saw this coming.
We felt it on the marketing agency side of things. You know, that stuff runs downhill once those rounds close up.
So to really underline how fucking bad it was, we only saw 212 rounds signed in the first 3 months of the year. That's the smallest number since Q4 of 2015, when it was also 212. For the past 7 years, we've had more than 300 rounds secured as the norm for each quarter for fintech. So that's how bad it's gone. On the plus side, we have seen some areas of growth. So where that funding's gone, health tech has done a lot better than it has traditionally. It was actually very nearly on a par with fintech with $1.9 billion in the first quarter. So that's part of the broader macro trends. So while, yeah, fintech's definitely down and the market as a whole is definitely down, there are little niches that are still getting a significant amount of VC funding. Something that's definitely not a bright spot for optimism, just going to move us over to blockchain, Web3, and crypto.
In 2022, we saw the whole NFT craze, and they were supposedly these revolutionary million-dollar assets. Now they're practically worthless. We saw the market grow really quickly in 2021 and 2022 after some landmark sales, like the $69 million auction of a single NFT in 2021. And then in terms of trading volume, the amount of money and sales across the whole industry has fallen 89% from the beginning of 2022 to now.
There were so many predictions last year of like 2023 is going to be the year for crypto, Web3 and NFTs. And it was the exact opposite. Totally tanked, trading volume down 90% in NFT. Not as dire, but a lot of similar declines in crypto. The thing I'll say specifically for NFTs, I actually think it's much like that's actually the market much more equalizing to a place of sustainability. The NFT hype train got way too intense with millions of people trading NFTs, which inflated their value, just exponentially. The actual use we're seeing for NFTs now of like Nike doing cool stuff with them in the virtual space that you can then add to the metaverse, it acts as a loyalty card. That stuff's quite cool. And that stuff I do see like long-term and like is here to stay.
What about cryptocurrency trading? There is a lot of hype. Lots of folks claiming expertise where maybe there wasn't much there. Big challenges. Obviously, we had a part of an episode about Sam Bankman-Fried. How do you think things panned out in 2023 for the crypto market?
Terrible. It was so bad for crypto. And like NFTs was more predictable. Like that was more of a of course, these things, this is a bubble that's eventually going to burst. Crypto's 2023, what did take me slightly more by surprise. There are a lot of genuine uses for crypto. A lot of smart people do use them for, and that like really do underpin unique areas of fintech that you can't really do in any other guise. And I do just think it's been pretty shitty luck in terms of just like the Sam Bankman-Fried thing, like, you know, like literally the poster boy for crypto turned out to be a total con man. Very hard to predict or know that that's coming. You know, there are still a lot of folk doing a lot of the sort of more dull legwork of like the Binances of the world, of making it feel more safe and more accessible, but it only takes one Sam Bankman-Fried to totally bugger that up. But yeah, this one did take me by surprise how much it's gone. Worldwide crypto ownership is down to about 4.2%, which was pretty low. It's still incredible that nearly 5% of the world owns crypto, but it's down. Ropey year for crypto. I didn't see it coming. The predictions of it was going to have 2023 was going to be the year it became mainstream. I never thought that, but I did think we would see more steady growth. And in fact, it's had a significant dip in both users and trading volume.
Another trend that I think, just to move us along here, another trend that I think was overhyped, but ultimately saw slow and steady growth was the metaverse. That's one I'm actually bullish on for a number of reasons, which I'll share. But there are a lot of predictions from 2022 that 2023 would be the year that the metaverse absolutely blew up and just exploded. That's not quite what we've seen. We take the example of Reality Labs, the division of Meta that's focused on the metaverse. It's lost $46.5 billion since 2019. A loss so huge, it would be a Fortune 100 company by itself if that were a positive number.
That is my favorite stat I've ever seen in one of our bits of podcast research.
Really well done, Rebecca. claps to you. Despite this, Zuckerberg, as it said here in the script, is that supposed to be like Sucka or something like that? Like Zuckerberg? Anyway, we're going to get a letter.
Mark Zuckerberg's.
We're going to get a cease and desist letter. Despite this,
Zuck's
net worth is higher than ever before. So that just kind of goes to show you it's not all about the quality of the product you produce. Global Data's latest report, the Metaverse Thematic Intelligence, reveals that the metaverse struggles from limited knowledge of the theme, unimpressed consumers, which that's a hilarious finding, and the postponement of projects by big tech. So a lot of these big tech companies have run into major issues from funding to profitability, so on and so forth, talent, and there are major concerns with privacy and security. Despite all that, metaverse will be worth $400 billion by 2030, up from $48 billion in 2022. So yeah, I'm ultimately bullish on the metaverse. I think it's too early. It was overhyped. People threw a bunch of money at it and, you know, tried to develop it and get ahead of the game and didn't work out. So what? It's still here. It's still coming.
Yeah, I think with the metaverse, if anything does solve crypto and NFTs problems and makes them mass market, it will be the metaverse becoming mass market. The thing that I think is TBD is whether the metaverse will ever replace social media and the internet as people's primary way of interacting with the world, because it does depend on quite a few technologies that need to become more mainstream for it to work. Like, most of the people using the metaverse currently are under the age of 16 and from very wealthy backgrounds, because they can afford a £500 headset on top of a £2,000 computer that can run that headset. And then once you get into the universe, the graphics aren't incredible. Like, you know, Reality Labs, the Meta's version of the metaverse looks like something from like a 2005 graphics card. So there's a lot of things that they need to fix. But if they do all of those, and it can create something like Ready Player One, where you have like this incredible interactive Call of Duty universe that everyone jumps into, and then it's also your shop, and then it's also your Deliveroo, and then it's also your own, then yeah, I think it has a potential. It just remains to be seen if it becomes that. And to your point, I think it's going to try and get there, but it's more a 10-year thing rather than like the next year or the year after. So yeah, one to watch more for like 2030, 2040 rather than 2024.
Yeah, I mean, it strikes me that there'll be potential. Like, I think sometimes we talk about it as if it's going to be like one big metaverse and like maybe it'll be, you know, kind of a collection of smaller ones. Is there like a shopping metaverse? Is there a gaming metaverse? Is there an educational metaverse? Is there ways to connect those, or will they be connected? I think that's a really interesting question in my mind.
The signs for optimism about the metaverse is like, you know, just virtual fitting rooms as its own weird individual niche is predicted to reach 13 billion by 2028. So, you know, there are clear and very applicable uses. And it's always the way with tech. Like, once every shopper under the age of 50 has used a virtual fitting room. Suddenly they're less scared of VR and AR, and they're like, oh, what, I can use the same technology to like go and play with my friends in a crazy Call of Duty universe? Like, sweet, yeah, I'll buy it. Like, it, you know, it can be a gateway into the wider tech.
Having a look at the year in tech, so let's take a look at some of the trends that in 2023 that actually did come to pass and that will have a long-lasting impact. Just to jump us in there, tech hiring, again, we felt this. There was a, you know, I actually saw this at Burning Man. There was,
what a great start to a sentence.
Let me tell y'all.
This was the Burning Man, which had all the crazy shit happen in it.
And this was the least crazy thing that happened in that Burning Man, let me tell you. I mean, you could see it. Like, there was a marked decrease in A, the number of people, and then B, just the impact of, like, layoffs, you know, for example. Like, people just weren't there because they didn't have money. They didn't have jobs. They weren't connected to some of the communities through which they normally would attend something like Burning Man. But yeah, the great hiring spree slowed. The hiring rate at late stage companies in particular declined, dropping from 62% in 2022 to just 31% this year. Reporting from Sifted, only 20% of companies surveyed said that they plan to grow their headcount in the next 6 months. Loads of market factors that sort of drove the great resignation seem to be slowing as, you know, the employee-employer dynamic kind of evens out. And obviously there was, you know, a push towards employees having a lot of say and power about their working conditions. And you obviously see a big drive back towards getting people into the office. I think there's even something that came out today about like Amazon basically rating people based on their presenteeism in the office and things like that, which is just fascinating given all that's happened.
It feels like the pendulum swung really far one way, yeah. and then it's come back. And I think we won't get quite into predictions, but I think it will continue to swing back this way in 2024. But yeah, you know, post-COVID, it was a seller's market where if you had technical talent and skills, you were very much in demand. There was a shortage of talent available for the roles. When there are fewer people hiring, suddenly, you know, there's way more, that power dynamic fundamentally shifts. That was one that I think most people did predict and has come to pass. Like, there's this less just the employee gets whatever they want attitude in the jobs market. And I think it will continue to go that way in 2024.
Yeah, I think we felt it ourselves, like how we've initially built the agency and how we're thinking of creating a more sustainable future for the agency going forward. But I think we all kind of maybe over-index towards, okay, you know, now the employee is completely in charge and kind of sets the tone. And you saw it with like tech companies that just rolled out all these, you know, amazing benefits before that. And then obviously, you know, everyone went to working remotely and it was like, okay, how do we bend over backwards to support the freelancer, the remote worker, the distributed team? And now it's kind of like, okay, well, we still have these assets, you know, called offices. We still have collaboration that needs to happen. And obviously collaboration can happen really well in person and, you know, remotely as well. But I think, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful that it's like a healthy rebalancing and that people will start to realize, okay, there is value in seeing each other occasionally and coming into the office occasionally, but also we need to still respect that people really did benefit from being able to craft, you know, a different work-life balance and work remotely, more time to care for their loved ones, more time to just take care of themselves. So how do we sort of keep that energy and chart a better course of the future? It's interesting. I don't know.
Taking us over to probably the most predicted and most correct prediction of 2022 that came to pass. This was definitely the year of AI, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was fucking everywhere. Yeah. Before diving into some of the stats, I think just one of the biggest signs that a piece of tech has made it to the mainstream. My girlfriend's 60-year-old mum uses ChatGPT to check her emails.
Wow.
Like, you know, that's where my mum's like, oh, you should Google it. Because like for her, Google's report, that's market saturation. Like that's how big AI was this year.
Some of the stats that we saw there in 2023, 35% of companies are using AI in their business. We're definitely using it from everything from doing research and helping us like draft, you know, outlines and content strategies to some extent to just making folks' lives easier in terms of putting together. I put together a proposal the other day, you know, in part through AI. It was accepted, thankfully.
The episode description for this podcast might be written by AI.
In terms of global market size, it's expected to grow 37% every year from 2023 to 2030. That's massive.
That's insane.
In terms of deployed AI adoption, it's over 40% in China and India, for example. So talk about like economies with massive numbers of workers who could benefit from, you know, a huge scale up in their ability to produce content and to research and to really just empower themselves. I think that's really fascinating. 25% of companies have adopted AI to address labor shortages. I know for a fact that we're thinking about how we hire and who we hire based on the productivity gains that you can get from AI. I think that's really interesting, important. Potentially alarming announcement is that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak as the company rolls out new voice and image capabilities. But yeah, definitely 2023 was definitely the year of AI, and I think those stats really demonstrate it.
A few more things to sort of add as causes for concern for 2023 being the year of AI, and stuff I think we as a society all need to watch is women alone only responsible for 11% of global AI research. So we've sort of flagged multiple times on this podcast. The scary thing about AI is it is built on assumptions using data and interpretations of that data, and then it just takes those interpretations and learning models and applies them at scale. So if that learning model and the data chosen is chosen by a white 40-year-old man, it is going to make white 40-year-old man decisions.
Yeah, it's concerning. And also a recent poll showed that over 60% of U.S. citizens are concerned about AI bias and potential discrimination during the hiring process. A lot of companies are rolling out algorithms to just sort of read through folks' LinkedIn profiles and CVs and cover letters and stuff like that, and then immediately sort of disqualify people potentially before a human has a chance to look at it, which I think is really, really interesting and potentially, yeah, disappointing. I didn't think hiring processes could get worse, but maybe they're about to.
Just hold my beer since recruitment.
Yeah. So I think we've pretty roundly covered this year in tech. It's probably behooves us to move into predictions for 2024. And one big one there is around social media. So taking a look at how social media channels are moving towards creating features that focus on e-commerce and generative AI, AR, VR, search. Social commerce is obviously a big one. It already is, but it will become an ever-increasing element of both B2B and B2C sales cycles as all platforms start to kind of move towards looking like WeChat, basically these everything apps that, hey, I can be social, but I can also buy things on there. TikTok, for example, they're developing, you know, new features and tools for creators, advertisers, but the big focus is on e-commerce, generative AI, and search in 2024. That comes from Matt Navarra, independent social media consultant. Social commerce specifically across TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest, it's a combination of marketplace and social media platforms. There was a great bit in the movie Dream Scenario starring Nicolas Cage. If you get a chance to see it, go check it out.
Casually drop in a bit of Nick Cage.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get Nick Cage in here. But there's a really funny bit, not to give too much away, but basically, you know, part of the movie ends up in this like house of influencers, and they, I mean, this is going to give away, so spoiler alert, but basically they figure out a way to infiltrate people's brains. Infiltrate people's dreams, which same thing, brains, dreams, and place ads in people's dreams. So I thought that was like a fascinating twist on like, hey, this is silly and insane, but like that's kind of where we're headed is like it's already happening because we're mindlessly using and basically daydreaming with these apps. And then boom, here's a product, here's, you know, something you should buy. And I think, yeah, unfortunately that's where we're headed. It's becoming a lot less social and a lot more commerce.
Yeah, there's two bits to this, which is one, some advice for people that of how to make use of this trend, but two, like, yeah, we should be concerned because the model that everyone is using is WeChat, and every app wants to become WeChat. For those of you who don't know, WeChat is the social media / everything platform approved by the Chinese government that its population is allowed to have, rather than Facebook, Twitter, etc., because obviously those aren't regulated by the Chinese government, so they can't ensure that the only line is the Chinese propaganda line of whatever they've decided for whatever topic it is. So instead, everyone can use WeChat, and it is basically, if you've ever read The Circle, it is what happens if you close the circle, where you interact with people on Facebook, on WhatsApp, where you buy products on eBay or Amazon. It's all the same, where you order food on Uber Eats. It's all the same app, and it is tied to your digital identity like a digital passport. So like you are completely verified, and every single thing you do on the internet is tracked to your particular ID number, because that's what the Chinese government wants, because it means that it's very big brother and they can make sure that you're not doing anything seditious or against their sort of approved what makes a good citizen. And that horrible dystopian nightmare that I just described is what every single social media app is trying to become right now. Yep. TikTok and IG are spending a huge amount of money on creating a good marketplace experience so that IG shops, TikTok shops can start to compete with the likes of Amazon, eBay, Etsy. Pinterest basically is, you know, already one of those. It's just finally starting to cotton on and try and make money off of the back of it. So that's the next focus of 2024. Those apps all want to start taking market share away from Amazon. But then after that, it will just be like, why aren't we just Uber? Why aren't we just Uber Eats? Like, none of that tech is actually difficult once you have the money and the resources we do. Why don't we just add Uber to Facebook? Why don't we just buy Uber? Why don't we, you know, and slowly but surely you end up with a super app that basically does everything. So slightly scary, definitely something I think we're going to see accelerated in 2024. My advice for you, if you are a direct consumer brand, is I would make sure that you are on TikTok and Instagram to sell on there, because that's the way it's moving. Yeah, if you sell anything to people that's an actual physical product, you need to be on those as well as Amazon and the more traditional digital marketplaces.
We talked on previous episodes about cybersecurity and the number of breaches that have flagged serious concern, especially in sensitive societies, like government or, you know, health, for example, is another one. So there was the great, you know, British library hack. Cloudflare, Google, and Amazon Web Services fought one of the largest cyber attacks in October of 2023. An estimated 20 million records were breached last month in the 23andMe hack. So everyone's juicy DNA data getting exposed there. I think a big prediction looking forward is that, you know, the cybersecurity market will continue to boom as the cost of these breaches become clearer and more apparent to companies. Also, as people's digital identities expand, like across the metaverse, for example, and, you know, they're dumping tons of data into generative AI that's doing tasks for them, things like that, cybersecurity is only going to increase in its importance. This 2024 trend means that companies are going to have to invest in advanced security technologies to protect their assets and sensitive information. Just in terms of some stats on cybercrime, it's pretty good. The cost of cybercrime will be up to $10.5 trillion by 2025, up from $3 trillion in 2015, according to Cybersecurity Ventures.
Yeah, I think there's two bits. This one is like a lot of the existing Web 2 infrastructure just needs to be more secure. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, LastPass has been hacked like 10 times, yeah, and its whole thing is it's a secure environment that's unhackable. So if a brand that prides itself on the security of itself and is a digital first brand is having that happen to it, you can understand how something like the British Library, NHS trusts get so easily hacked. Mm. So that sort of existing legacy digital infrastructure needs to get better, and it needs to be a concern, because it isn't until you get to a certain size as a company. Most people don't think about it.
Yeah.
But then also, as some of the stuff we spoke about, like moving into Web3, the metaverse, etc., becomes more commonplace. Even as social apps become more prevalent across more elements of your life, you know, before Instagram gets hacked, who gives a fuck? It's just photos of you and your friends. Instagram gets hacked and it has all of your purchase data, your address, and all of your banking information. Suddenly that's a much bigger deal. So yeah, I do think that 2024 will be like the real year of people realizing, wow, this stuff is really important. And cybersecurity in both Web 2 and Web 3 needs to step its game up, because at the moment, you know, there's way, way too much money to be made by criminals. That stat on going from $3 trillion to $10.5 trillion in only 10 years, like, that's insane. If that was any marketplace in the world, you'd be talking about how that's the fastest growing marketplace in the world ever. It's outstripping AI, metaverse, crypto, or AR and VR all at once. So that gives you an idea of the scale of the problem.
It's kind of the you know, the concrete foundation upon which all the other bits of the tech economy rely to some extent or stand upon.
We've got green tech. It's a prediction and also a prayer. I think we are increasingly seeing people wake up to the realities of climate change. I think there's been a real realization of like 2030 is sort of like the exam, and everyone has been putting off doing the homework, and suddenly it's like 2 weeks before the exam and you're like, oh shit, I need to cram. And I think there is a growing realization amongst every element of society that this is way more of a problem than anyone had pretended it was, and there's just no other solution except to turn it around through green tech. So VC investment in the climate tech space is massively up. You're even seeing most right-wing platform, like most right-wing news outlets that have traditionally pushed back on the entire concept of climate change, coming to accept it as just a reality. So I'm hoping that 2024 is really the year of green tech, of investment in specific climate funds and climate tech, as we try and sort of offset the disaster that is our planet at the moment and stay under 1.5 degrees Celsius warming.
I'm hopeful that, like, we will to some extent techify our way out of this problem, as you kind of alluded to earlier. Like, like, you know, encouraging to see, for example, the, you know, first carbon sequestration plant open up in California. And part of that as a result of the IRA that President Biden signed, and the $1 billion that went into the Green Climate Fund, that's sort of slowly funneling its way to startups.
What I think has the potential to save us is that we come up with a very efficient and smart way of taking carbon out and various other climate change driving particles out of the atmosphere, rather than stopping our consumption enough to solve the problem naturally. But yeah, well, TBD. It actually segues us quite nicely into prop tech, because I think, yeah, some of the big predictions for 2024 that we've got are going to be focused around efficiency, all driven by climate change. I'm seeing a lot of exciting stuff in the space around AI and efficiencies. One cool one is that the price of electricity changes whether you're taking it at peak hours or lower hours. That's not something a lot of people don't know. But that means that you can create an AI smart meter on most devices, and it'll only charge a device at points where the price per kilowatt is very low. So when you have to charge something that has a lot, like, you know, you're using a lot of electricity, not like a smartphone or something, more like a electric vehicle or an entire, 10,000 person building complex that runs on smart tech. If you can draw energy down at 3p per kilowatt rather than 12p per kilowatt, you know, it can save you millions and millions of dollars. So there's a big movement at the moment towards energy efficiency and like when you take electricity and when you heat buildings so that you get the maximum impact for the lowest cost, the lowest possible sort of impact on the planet. So that's a cool one on the positive sector.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see. I think like obviously the connection between prop tech and green tech is there, and like given the amount of greenhouse gases that buildings emit, and starting to see, like, you know, this idea all tech is now green tech, all tech is now climate tech, but like seeing that connection and smart meters obviously being a big part of that, and better design, as you mentioned, with, you know, the use of digital floor plans and interior design, things like that. I think it's really cool to see subsectors and tech for good start to collide and start to, I guess, collude in a way as well, which is necessary and important. So
Take us on to our last prediction for 2024, and this is in the gaming and film industry. I slipped this into the podcast outline because these are things that I enjoy, but yeah, I think what big prediction for 2024 is we're going to kind of increasingly start to see a lot of media become fluid, where a good and successful bit of film becomes a successful game, becomes successful podcasts, becomes successful multimedia formats, and it's all just a bit more fluid. We're seeing a lot of video games that have become very successful series, like The Witcher. Amazon are currently commissioning a Warhammer adaptation, also starring Henry Cavill, because he's just a giant 6'5" gorgeous nerd. God of War is getting its own series in Amazon. Dune and Avatar will both have large budget gaming versions of themselves in the works. And they're just a cool sort of moment we're in right now, where I feel like we've seen it with a few massive franchises like Star Wars, where it becomes physical toys, digital toys, podcasts, it becomes comic books, it becomes every form of content you can imagine under the sun. And we're just seeing that more and more. And if some of the stuff with the metaverse and AR does come to pass, I think that's when we'll start to really see it, is like this central virtual hub that contains almost every form of media and content you could imagine, all in one place, all around the same sort of IP and general storyline and narrative and universe.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, to see, again, with the intersections of, like, you know, what can happen if you mix VR, AR, gaming, in-person activations and things like that. I think that's really, really amazing. And I think that's just, obviously, it's gonna continue. And I think fluid is the right word, where you're seeing these crossovers from film to TV to gaming, you know, and that's exciting from an entertainment perspective. I mean, it makes you really start to wrap your head around, like, the implications for what the metaverse, like, could be and might be quite soon. We're in for more entertainment as the dystopia descends upon us. So
no, I don't, yeah. Like, you know, I think when it's done well, it's cool. Like, yeah, you know, I love Lord of the Rings. Being able to play a Lord of the Rings game as well as watch a film is, you know, like, objectively makes me happier. Like, yeah. I think it's when all the other stuff comes to it and then they steal your data and sell you shit that, like, it becomes a problem. But
absolutely,
the fundamental idea of, like, give me really cool content in multiple formats that I will definitely enjoy, I'm on board with that part.
Yeah, totally. Totally. But it is interesting to kind of see, you know, like, what, yeah, like, the bleaker bits of the economy and obviously climate change and stuff like that, while also there's an uptick in, like, hey, we're getting better at sort of entertaining ourselves and sort of like, yeah, the parallels of the two, I think, are you know, hard to ignore. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's actually not, fuck, I'd not thought of that. It's like the last days of Rome. It's just like everyone's doing bread and circuses, and it's like,
doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. We can still you know, still work it out. But yeah, cool. We want to close the show with our hot takes for 2024. Moving forward, we will be absolutely held accountable for these predictions.
These are far less like the previous takes were all kind of like strong predictions from a lot of very smart people. This is just me and Paul. What are our hot takes for 2024 on instinct?
Just spitballing. I mean, I'm very worried about the labor market. I think we're going to see a lot more churn in labor market as employers find ways, including generative AI, to kind of optimize processes and get more from machines. And coincidentally, more from the humans they already have. So not necessarily letting people go, but just demanding more of them, more productivity, more output. Every week, it feels like we're turning a corner and a new team member saying, hey, I was able to use AI for this, that. You know, that's really interesting to see. And employers are realizing they can get more, quote unquote, mileage out of current employees leveraging tools like generative AI rather than diving into costly hiring, recruiting, and onboarding for new hires. So I think that's like a really big challenge. It's just like, to some extent, there's just going to be more highly skilled work out there. And we're going to have to really figure out a way in terms of how we structure our society to support people, just like we did during the pandemic, who either need to skill up or will be, you know, long-term unemployed or underemployed. You know, I don't think the gig economy is the answer for that, but I think there's a real reckoning to come with how many folks in the economy are employed and how well, how effectively.
Yeah, the job market's fucking wild at the moment. Yeah. Like, it's just every year seems to be the most unprecedented year for change, and then it's just followed by one that's worse. So yeah, I don't think anyone has any idea what it'll look like in 5 years' time. I'm going to do five quick fire hot takes because I couldn't pick one because I'm indecisive. One, I think Web3 is going to make a comeback. I think 2023 was the ultimate low point of most Web3 tech, and 2024 onwards, it's going to consistently grow. There are just a lot of very useful use cases for it, and you can't escape those. I think security and data privacy will just explode in terms of investment and demand for it. I think one of the biggest things blocking the metaverse right now is the concerns over data and security and privacy. So I think that's just has to be solved before the rest of the Web3 economy can really take flight. I think, yeah, all social media platforms and apps are trying to become super apps. They're all trying to become WeChat. My prediction, and this is more for like a 10 years in the future, I reckon there will only be like sort of 2 to 3 apps that we're going to use. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Number four, India and China are going to establish themselves as the predominant e-commerce providers of the world in 2024. A lot of the traditional business model is like American entrepreneur orders stuff from India or China and then puts it all on an e-commerce platform and sells it. And, you know, you buy it for $5 in China and you sell it for $50 in the UK. There's a huge amount of Chinese and Indian companies that are just realizing, why do we need this fucking American guy? And final one, and this on a happy note, I think 2024 is going to be the year Twitter goes under.
They're not going to morph into the everything app.
I think they're going to morph into the nothing app. But I don't know. I like, welcome to be wrong in this one, but I think 2024 is the year that X goes under.
There's too many journalists, man. Too many journalists on there. But yeah, that's it.
We'll reconvene in a year's time.
We will.
For 2023 in review.
We're not going anywhere.
We gotta make sure we bring this outline up and just run through it and see which ones we got right and which ones we got wrong.
Have a little scorecard. Well, folks, that is a wrap for Tech Can't Save Us podcast for 2023. That's crazy to say. Big thanks to all the folks that support us and continue to support us. We kindly ask that you continue to share the pod with your network and use your festive break to relax and catch up on all the lovely episodes that you missed via Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, thanks so much for an amazing year, guys. I really, really appreciate it. And yeah, hope you have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you sort of early January in 2024 to kick season 4 off with a bang.
Bye for now, y'all. Happy Christmas.
Bye.